Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, with a message he's entitled, First Fruits. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And so it comes to a point that God only knows, man never knows this, as to a person's life where they are beyond the ability for God to reach because they will not repent. Romans chapter 1 says God turns them over to a reprobate heart. He takes his hands off upon them. He stops trying to restrain their sin and he just lets them live any way that they want, and they're eaten up and destroyed by that sin. Evidently, the Amorites and the people, the Canaanites in the land of Israel, after 400 years, God gave them plenty of time. They're not getting right with him. So God says, now it's time to bring judgments. I find a lot of mercy in 400 years. As a nation, we haven't even been around for 400 years. And these people, by the time of Abraham, were already idolatrous and evil and corrupt. And were involved in sacrificing their children to their false gods. And it got worse over time, not better. So God says, we need to carve them out of the land. They're like a cancer in a body that needs to be cut out to spare the rest of society. So this is very consistent with the nature and character of God. He gives people space, time to repent. If they don't, then he acts in judgment. But also, it's mercy upon the nation of Israel as well. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. The mercy that God wants to show to the nation is that he's going to tell them not to intermingle with these people, lest their sin corrupt them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's a speech, a sermon that Moses gives. And actually, all of Deuteronomy are sermons that Moses gave right before he died in the plains of Moab. And basically what he said is, this last generation has just died off. Here's the reason why. Let's not find ourselves in there. As you go into the land, you need to walk in obedience to what God says. And the word Deuteronomy means second law. Deuteros is the word second. Namas is law. So it's like the second giving of the law that Moses gave to the people. He says, when you're in the land, this is how you are to conduct yourself. And here's one of the instances as he tells them why they're to go in and destroy people. Look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 7. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Mosquito Bites and all the other ites that are there, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their sons, nor take their daughters for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. So he says to them to preserve your own life. Do not have any relationship with them. They will turn your hearts away from the Lord. Then the Lord will have to deal with you and bring his judgment upon you. That would anger the Lord if they were to get in the land and act idolatrous like the people. So he says, you can't handle it. You're not strong enough to intermingle with these people, so they must be put to death. Read on, verse 5. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and breaking down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. And here's why. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. He says, I'm entering into a special relationship with you. You're a treasure to me, and I don't want your lives to be contaminated by the corruption of the people in the lands. And the Lord knew it was at a point where these people would not repent. The Lord knows the hearts, knows the intentions of the heart. So he says, it's time to bring judgment, and we need to cut them out from the land so you could go and possess the land and be that special treasure and then bring the light to the entire world. Now, God acts the same in the New Testament. He tells the church. We're going through it in 1 Corinthians. We just finished it, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was someone that was living in an incestuous relationship with his own mom or stepmom in a marriage relationship. Paul says, kick that guy out of the church. He says, deliver him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Hopefully he'll repent. So the church too as well, we are now that special treasure. And we're not to allow sin in our midst, lest Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we have to deal with sin as well. I don't know what would be worse, being killed instantly or being turned over to Satan to be whatever, hassled and demonized or whatever he's going to do in that case when someone's turned over to him. But it's not going to be a fun thing, obviously. It's going to take some radical abuse spiritually, physically, emotionally. So the Lord has always dealt with sin when it will not be repented of as some sort of destruction. So it's right in the nature and character of God to give people opportunity, but when they will not repent, judgment needs to come upon them. So it's not just all of a sudden God woke up in a bad mood one day and said, kill all those people in Jericho, I don't like them anymore. He's given them 400 years. And I knew I would have to deal with this because that's a question that people will get. You know, how can a loving God do this or that? God loves his people and he wants to spare them because he wants to bring blessing, and sin rips off the blessing of God. Sin destroys it. Sin quenches it out. So God has to remove sin in cases like this. Go back to Joshua 6. You'll also see the mercy of God continuing here. Because look what it says in the last part of verse 17. It says, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So God did spare some people from Jericho, Rahab and her family, because those are the only ones that exercised faith in the Lord. And isn't that how God works today? He offers salvation through Jesus Christ, and anyone that would accept the Lord, the debt's been paid, the judgment is passed over, and we enter into his mercy, just like Rahab and her family was able to. And this is why we must preach the gospel, because there is a judgment that's to come, but there's an escape. There's one escape through the person and work of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. So the mercy of God sent spies into the land, and those two spies, out of all the people that were in Jericho, just happened to go to the one house of a person that had faith in the true and living God. And she was a harlot, so it was probably a house that they probably shouldn't have went to or went to directly. It must have been God ordained, brought these lives together, and she confessed her faith in the true and living God, and then God rescued her and her family. So God will rescue in any point, in any situation, anyone that would turn to him, just like he did with Rahab and this family. So you see the mercy of God working. He rescued those that would turn to him. The ones who hardened their heart, there had to be judgments. That's the same thing that's going to happen, just with an eternal consequence. People that die without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for them. That's why as a church we must proclaim the message of the gospel, the hope that's found in Jesus Christ, in an uncompromised way, telling them of hope, but also warning them of the danger to come. And that's why, as for me as a pastor, I take about just about every opportunity I have to give altar calls and give people the opportunity to receive the Lord. Now, we have an alternative night coming up. It's Halloween. It's kind of a dark night. Well, we're going to bring life. We're going to preach the gospel there and give people opportunity to receive the Lord. I preach the gospel at funerals. Preach the gospel at weddings. We've had weddings the last two Saturdays. We have people come to the Lord at both of these weddings. It's a communion time. I explain what communion is. And I just share with people the love of God that's available for them in Christ Jesus. We need to get the word out. God wants to rescue people, but it's on the basis of faith, just like Rahab had faith in the rescue plan that God set up. So everything in here, Old Testament, is all consistent with the heart nature of God, because he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then in verse 18, he gives them a warning, and he says, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And if you're into taking notes, I want you to write these other scriptures down. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. Also Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. And then Leviticus chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. And these are all places where the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you go into the land and God puts a city under destruction, don't take of the valuables. If you take of the valuables, then God's judgment's going to come upon your family and upon the nation. And that's what Joshua is saying here. He's just repeating what Moses had commanded. So when they go in and they defeat Jericho, they're not to take of any of the valuables. All the valuables are to go to the Lord. And if you take of the valuables, you're going to bring God's judgment upon the nation as well as upon your life. That's what chapter 7 is all about. They're going to go to this little city called Ai. They're going to lose the battle. Joshua's going to cry out to God and say, what happened? And he says, there's sin in the camp. And they went over to Achan's house. He took stuff from Jericho, and him and his family paid the price. But the Israel paid the price as well. As a nation, they lost the battle. So God's warning them here. Don't touch of these things. It doesn't belong to you. You touch of these things, you'll bring displeasure from God upon your life. So that's the judgment part there, the ban, as he calls it.